I think it's important just to point your compass towards joy.
And play like you, be like you, and don't overthink it.
I can't believe you got this far, mate, to be honest with you.
It's pretty
awesome.
Can
you tell me most podcasts get to 10 episodes and then they give up?
Yeah.
Or stop?
Yeah, 99% of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Flipping out.
1% of all podcasts make it to pass the 20 episode mark. You know, I mean, you and I have dealt with it a little bit, but like at some point, it's like, okay. I mean, 20 episodes for most people, that's 20 hours of conversation recorded. So it was your best 20 hours of you talking to your friend or your co-host or whatever. I think honestly, a friendship is a big part of it, because when I listened to one of my favorite podcasts, just got two new hosts, and they're both very good at their jobs, but they are not, clearly they're not friends outside of this. Right. And they can't just make things happen. Like if it's not on the script, it's like, well, I guess there's a 4-minute episode because I have nothing to talk to you about.
Yeah, it's interesting. I found a new podcast the other day, and it seems like a common thing where like the celebrity or the well-known person starts his podcast, and then they bring in like someone else to keep the conversation flowing. It's like it's like they've employed like a professional speaker.
Yeah.
Do you know what 100%. I mean? To be the third wheel to like keep the flow going. Because it's hard, man. Like, I mean, it's not, I don't find this podcast hard to do, but when you actually think about what you're doing, it can kind of stop you in your tracks. You're a bit like, oh my God, like people are sat at home listening or driving to me.
Car.
See, now I'm thinking about it. See, this is exactly what I'm on about. Now I'm thinking about it.
Game over.
Now I can't speak. You know what I mean? So it's exactly like the intro said, just don't overthink it, mate. Just talk. That's all you got to do.
It's a bit of wood hitting a piece of plastic or whatever the hell you say.
Exactly.
It's no big deal.
Just have a conversation.
Okay, well, I have something to loosen you up.
Go on.
I have a game for you.
Oh, wicked.
By the way, before we get into the game, everybody, welcome into Drum with Mike and Eddie. Two drummers that are trying our best to navigate the chaos of the minefield that is what happens in our heads when we play this instrument and we try to become professional playing this instrument. So we will try to ease your pain over the next few years and make sure that you understand that you are not alone in this thing. And to make sure that you feel that you're not alone, here we go. I used Google the search engine to type in the words drum set. And you and I are going to answer whatever Google's top five questions are.
Oh, wow. All right, cool. Mm-hmm.
You ready to see? And I, by the way, haven't previewed this, so I'm just hoping there's questions at some point. There we go. People also ask, what is a reasonable price for a drum set?
Ooh, good question, mate.
Wow.
Good question. This is really going to make me seem, and you seem spoiled, because I have no idea, mate.
I mean, honestly, like 20 to 30 grand, you're in, right?
Yeah.
Beginner kit.
Yeah. Yeah. Beginner kit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So seriously though, like somebody comes to you and says, I've got sticks, I've got a pad, I want to buy my first drum set. I think one of the toughest things that you and I go through as teachers is, okay, there's a price point that you will be set for at least the next 10 years. But that's a lot of money to play if you're going to quit in 2 months. So their seriousness is the whole thing. Cause it's like, honestly, get this used thing for $300. You're going to quit anyways. Like that is now I've never said that once. I've never recommended that, but I've taught my whole, like since I was 17 years old, I've seen a lot of people spend a lot of money and then they give it up and then they have to eBay the kit. So it is tough. What's a good,
I mean, I went into Graham Russell's recently after we did the thing there. And I had a look around and I bought Travis like a £300 electric drum kit. And I was shocked at how cheap stuff is these days, but yet how good it is. So I would just go with the cheapest thing, man. I would go for the cheapest thing, mate, to be honest with you. I would say £300 if you're from the UK. I will go £300, mate.
Okay, cool. So you got a snare drum and a stand, and maybe it came with a little backpack to take to school. £300. Oh my God. All right.
I would go max £300, mate.
Yep. That's great. Fantastic.
See how bad you want to play the drums, mate. Come on.
You know what? I think what you're doing is let's show how much of a douchebag Mike is when he says £2,000. I think that I haven't, and now neither of us were prepared for this, so we didn't look up how much things cost. But I do agree with you that like whatever the tier after the most basic. So for Gretsch, it would be called the, I think it's called like the Energy Series. That's almost, it's just like licensed by Gretsch. It's not made by Gretsch. And then I'm sure Tama has one. I'm sure Ludwig has a few where it's like, okay, that's literally just some overseas thing that they stamp their name on. But the first level of most pro companies, you know, the old Midtown, the Pearl Midtown, so for Gretsch, that's a Catalina. I don't know what that would be in Ludwig. Maybe is it an accent? I think
it's a, I think, well, they do like a the accent or the pocket kit.
Yeah.
Basically.
So, cause I'm not thinking about like getting a small drum set. I want it to be normal sizes, at least 20 inch kick.
Yeah, that would be the accent.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those
which
to
is,
oh boy,
let's see how much it is. Come on. Come on, baby. £480.
Now that's no cymbals, I'm assuming.
I mean, yeah, that can't be with cymbals, surely.
No.
And if they are, those cymbals are going to be horrific.
But that is what I think that like, okay, one, it's going to hold its value enough that if you do quit, you can sell it and maybe lose 50 bucks. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I know a ton of Gretsch artists that have Catalinas, you know, and that's Gretsch's entry line. They're fantastic. And they make them in, and all of them have now like matte finishes, matte wood finishes, lacquer finishes, all for around that $450 range. So I would say realistically, drum set, hardware. We got to remember there's hardware and cymbals.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking $750. You put in $750 and you're giving yourself a shot to play this instrument and not blame the equipment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably a fair one. It's so difficult, isn't it, mate? I am just so out of touch. I know that makes me sound like an absolute dick, but I'm so out of touch with how much things cost, how much like hardware costs.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And we spoke about this in a couple of episodes ago, man. I'm looking at it now on Google and I'm like, flipping it.
Yeah.
Right. Some of these snares I've got sat down here, I'm sat on an absolute gold mine. Oh. Mate. If things go wrong, I'm sweet. I don't know why I worry, mate. I don't know why.
When you said 300, I was like, for a hi-hat stand? I mean, what are you expecting to get? Okay, so let's call it $750, so probably around like 610, 620 pounds.
Yeah.
All right, 600 quid, you ready for the next Google top five question?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Man, these are solid. What's the best material for a drum kit?
Ooh. Yeah, you take this one, mate. I'm gonna say maple.
There you go.
After playing one.
There you go.
It's very versatile, but you get into the nuts and bolts.
I would say the same thing. I wouldn't say it's the best. There is no best. There's best for each situation. But as far as most versatile and not having to think too much about it, like if you can't get a maple kit to do what you want to do, and I'm talking like a decent, not high end, but a decent maple drum set, then it's kind of on your head choice and your tuning. Like, obviously, oak will lean a certain way. Birch will be a little bit louder because it's a more dense wood. So if you're playing rock, you're not going to have to hit quite as hard to get the volume you want. But maple is a do-it-all drum set material.
Mm-hmm.
It's warm, but it also has a little bit of punch. There's plenty of attack. I honestly, for you and I discussed it in last week's episode, but I think that the head choice has way more to do than with the sound of the drums than whether if you got the exact same sizes, exact same kit, but changed it from maple to birch to oak, subtle difference. You go from single ply clear to like pinstripe coated, massive difference.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But I'm just looking at the kit now that I've got. I'm like, flip.
Oh, did you just find the cost?
Yeah.
Are you writing Ludwig an email right now with like flowers and thank you?
Yeah, I'm just like, wow, did I say thank you enough? This is crazy. But yeah, I think you're right, man. I mean, mate, going back, thinking about when I had a kit, when I first started playing, that was the only thing I really changed was like tunings and skins and stuff like that. Because
totally,
you know, it costs a lot of money. And like you said, man, unless you're recording, like no one knows the difference. It doesn't feel any different.
You know what I've noticed with the materials, and mainly for me, I mean, I've always played, well, Gretsch is a combination. I don't know if you know this, but Gretsch doesn't have maybe the renown, but I don't think at least in their USA custom and broadcaster, there is no all maple shell. It's maple, then four plies of something else, and then maple. There's only two plies of maple in Gretsch drums. So in a USA custom, you've got maple, then four plies of gumwood, then a ply of maple. My signature snare is from the Brooklyn line. So that's maple, four plies of poplar, and then maple. And then the broadcaster that I play as my main kit is a three ply shell, and that's maple, gum, maple.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never knew that, man. Never knew that.
So
it's a good question though, man. It is a good question. Cause I feel like, you know, it's there's a lot of choice out there these days, and especially with the internet, it's like flipping hell, where do I even start? When I first started, mate, it was like some guy down the road made me a drum kit, Phil Collins style, with no toms on the bottom, no skins on the bottom.
Yeah,
it was so good. It was concert bad.
Yeah, like, I mean, mine was my jugs percussion, and I honestly, like, at no point did I think, because I was a kid, at no point did I think, is this birch? Like, it would have never even occurred to me. I can tell you exactly what it was. It was Maranti, which I don't know if it's universal, but in America, that's a fancy name for basically plywood. It's just crap. But I had a Maranti kit, which they all were at the time. 12, 13, 16. I still think that's the worst tom combination possible, because
yeah, I was gonna say that's weird.
Your two toms are separated by 1 inch. So it's like digga, 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 digga. Was 12, that two toms 13. Or one? That was one. Yeah, 12, 13. So the and by what, a billion depth? So they're so high a kid can't even reach them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but all of that being said, I didn't complain. I didn't know any better. You know, so I think, honestly, going back to your first point about the price, I think you're kind of right on that now that I think about it. As far as like, if you want a decent drum set, you're probably looking at $750 to a grand. But in reality, if somebody came to me and said, but I don't have that, I would say exactly what you said. I don't, just get anything. Get anything. Yeah. We'll find out if you want to play or not.
Get anything. Get a Yamaha EA. Well, no, don't get
there. We go. There's another 300 pounds.
Yeah, exactly.
You ever Google one of those?
Oh, my God. Mate, I tell you what is one of the best investments as a kid, right? And Travis has got some here. And these are the Vic Firth headphones. You know, like the headphones. They are so tight on your brain. It feels like they're squeezing the oxygen from your head. But these make any kit or
sound
any room
amazing.
Sound unbelievable. I practice with these on. So for those who can't see, well, no one can see because we're not uploading this footage, but these are the Vic Firth headphones, but the kid ones. So they're called kid phones. And they honestly make any kit, any room just sound incredible. So
100% cheap agree.
Kit, get a good set of those and then you're off, mate.
Back in the day when like, I don't even, they weren't wireless. So wired AirPods, like headphones, but you know, just like earbuds, I guess. When those first came out, I went, and there weren't Vic Firth headphones yet. I would use those with my Sony Walkman that was playing, or Discman, excuse me. And then I would go to the hunting store because, you know, in America, got to just go have some guns available on West 7th Street. And I would buy rifle headphones and I'd put those rifle headphones over the earbuds. And then I had like professional silencing headphones. They were amazing.
Love that, man. Mate, the kids these days do not, they don't know how lucky they are, genuinely. It makes me sound so old, but it's like, mate, I used to do the same thing, man.
Do Walkman, anything you like, can.
Can't play too loud because it's going to skip.
It's going to skip. That was the one, dude. When I, because the headphone cable was so short, the Discman had to be on the floor tom, but if I played too loud, it would skip. So
it would just skip.
That's how you learn dynamics.
Mate, I used to be in the back of the car, like with my little Walkman. Like if my dad went over a speed bump, I used to yell at him, be like, "Dad, dodge them. You just made me skip." Do you know what I mean? Oh, you can't skip "And Justice for All" by Metallica.
I just lost a track and a half. All right, you ready for the next question?
Now you've just made me realize I was listening to music. I was daydreaming. Ready for the next one.
All right, here we go. Oh, man. These are awesome questions because we take it for granted that everybody knows this. What is the most popular drum kit size?
Ooh. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I used to think what I played was the most popular size, but I'm starting to realize that what I play isn't that popular.
I would say, honestly, if we start with bass drum, though, I would say probably 22 is still more popular than 20.
Okay. So 22 by like 16 or 14?
Yeah. 22 by 16. 14 is still kind of like a specialty size.
Okay. Yeah, cool. So that's what I play, 22 by 16, and then 10, 12, 16.
That's yeah, I mean, well, you know, if you think, so basically as far as the naming conventions, they'll call anything with a 10, they'll call it a fusion kit. So 10, 12, 14. So 20, 10, 12, 14 is a fusion kit generally. And then, which means it leans more towards funk, jazz, fusion, light pop. And then the rock kits would be 22, 12, 16. And so it's usually a three-piece kit. And then I would say that it's a toss-up between, I think a 14 by 5.5 snare is the most popular size because it can kind of do anything.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, but if you get a bigger kit, then you might have a 6.5. So honestly, to anyone that's curious about this question, we're talking about how big is your bass drum? And a 22 is going to, it's not only the sound, but it's also the volume that comes out of it. If you hit a 20-inch bass drum with a certain amount of force, let's say it creates a note that is 100 decibels loud. If you use that exact same force on a 22, you're probably going to get to 105 to 110. It's just it's pushing more air. It's creating a little bit more volume. So if you're in a rock band, you're going to want a 22 because you can be heard more. You can be felt more in the room. Where with a 20, you're going to feel like you're just constantly slamming on it. Same thing with toms. You know, bigger toms sound better, lower tuned. When you get a 16 or an 18-inch floor tom and you just drop the tuning, they sound insane.
I love it, man. Love it. I've got an 18 for this Ludwig. I haven't put it out yet, though.
Really?
Yeah, mate. I've got a 10, 12, 13, 16, 18.
Jesus, you have a full-blown Dream Theater kit.
Mate, I know, man. I felt bad ordering it. But to be fair, Jamie was like, at Ludwig, he just said, order it now. Because if you want like an additional tom later on, the wrap's going to look completely different, even though it's the same.
You know, that happened to me with Gretsch. Gretsch, when I first signed with them, I got a white Marine Pearl kit. And then I did exactly what you said. I ordered this 12-inch snare to go with it.
That's sick.
And come on, there it is. To listeners at home, there you go. but yeah, and it came in. It wasn't the same. And I was like, oh, did I say vintage Marine Pearl? I thought I said white Marine Pearl. And they're like, no, you did. I was like, it doesn't look anything like my kit. And then they did a little bit of digging. They're like, oh man, you ordered your kit 5 years ago. We've actually switched wrap vendors since then. So
yeah,
we are. It is white Marine Pearl, but it's a different company altogether. And I was like, and so exactly what Jamie told you, like, I can never match a drum to that kit ever again.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. So he was like, look, just go for it. We're saying it's cool, go for it. And I was like, all right, chucking a 13.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm an 18. Honestly, with what you did, I always see that as you don't have a big kit, you have multiple drum sets. You might want to go out on tour. If you're doing arenas, get that 18 out there, go have some fun.
Oh, man.
You know,
poof. It's coming out, baby. It's coming out. Yeah, man. Mate, these questions are really, really good.
These are legit questions. So I think we need to make this a regular feature of the podcast. We just type in a random drumming word like cymbals and just see what the first five questions about cymbals are.
All right, sweet. And rudiments, things like that.
Yes. So, well, sorry about that. That was the educator in me coming out. Sorry about that, guys.
I love that.
Yes. Rude of freaking mints. Woo. All right. Whatever. Hey, let's talk about this podcast.
Okay, cool. Let's do it, man. This is all right, isn't it? I'm kind of happy with how, you know, we had a little rough patch with the first three episodes where you realized that I had no idea what I'm talking about regarding drum gear and anything about it. But then, mate, looking back, man, it's been a crazy old ride. I can't believe like how many people listen to this podcast. Not to boast about numbers or whatever, but every time I do a one-to-one lesson or do anything drum related, I sort of just say, oh yeah. So I've got this little podcast, and everyone stops me in my tracks and says, yeah, I listen. And then I say, well, do you support it? And they say, wow. And I say, get Patreon out right now and sign up right in front of me. Do you know what I mean?
I think.
And they say, Eddie, you're not what you're like on the podcast. You're an absolute prick in real life.
You seem like a bit of a car salesman. Yeah, it's tough because we want to do this so bad, but we also want this to do more. We want this to be bigger than it is. And it's really hard to do that Everything that we've done so far has been through the financial support of the patrons. So if you are a patron, please know, one, this next 5 minutes where we beg for a little bit more support is not about you, because you're already supporting the podcast, and we couldn't ask for more from you. We absolutely appreciate it. And I hope you know, even if you see pictures of Eddie and I at Drummers Only in Glasgow, Scotland, you're the ones that made that happen. So All the people that are in the room that night that might have their lives changed and might re-fall in love with this instrument, you did that. You should feel extremely good about that. And I think that two things that I've found out about supporting podcasts, you've told me since the beginning when we started Patreon that you actually support a couple podcasts. So I went to do that and to support a podcast that I was losing. They were actually like, sorry, we literally can't do this anymore because we have other jobs, other commitments, and this podcast doesn't provide us with enough income to make it part of our life. So I did do that. It was shockingly easy. But here's what I also found out. I also tried to help them by giving them a 5-star rating. Hardest thing I've ever done in the history of the world. It's impossible to rate a podcast. And I always say at the end, if you get a chance, just head on over to iTunes and give us a 5. No. Instead, create your own website from scratch. It'll be easier. Literally.
It's also as well, like the one thing that I've realized, because when I listen to podcasts all the time, when you're listening to a podcast, I think 9 times out of 10, you're busy. Do you know what I mean? You're either in the gym, you're either driving, or I don't know, you're going for like a jog or something. You're listening whilst doing something, and it's very, very hard to just stop what you're doing and rate or sign up to support a podcast. And I remember I was in the queue for, I think it was like a coffee drive-through place, and they said on the podcast, sign up, you know, it really helps us. If not, we won't be here for much longer. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pull over and sign up. And it didn't take that long, but I think it's important to do, man. It is important. Like you said, like, we want to do this for the rest of our lives. We want to do it for a very long time anyway. And it's the support is very much needed, man. So if you are listening to this, mate, and you know, you have a spare, quite literally 2 minutes, 3 minutes to download Patreon, if you haven't got it already, and sign up, and support us, it means the world, because it means we can do more cool things, like Mike said, man. Like, the world is sort of our oyster with this podcast. We want to do all these amazing events. We want to do more of them. We want to make them better. We want to have, you know, we want to go to more locations, and that's what the money goes to, man. It goes to things like that. It funds Mike's flight over here or my flight over there. It's not just, you know, going in our pockets, so to speak. It really helps us grow.
Yeah. I mean, there's,
do this.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I do in every episode. So get used to it. what I was going to say is that, like, when you said it doesn't just go in our pockets, that's the thing that probably most people would not understand, is there's times where you and I have decided, all right, we're going to do this podcast run. We need hotels. We need food. We need my flight, or it's your flight over here, either way. And then we literally don't take any money from the podcast for months, because we have to build up this account that's going to pay for everything. And I've got 3 trips where I'm coming over to Europe. I think I'm using the right term there. I don't know. But I'm, you know, I've got the UK drum show, so I'll be there for a little bit. Then I'm going to Italy on another trip. And then I'm also going to Germany on another trip. So, and then you're coming here for some stuff. So there's a possibility that we can do a lot of stuff, but all of it needs funding. So like Eddie said, if you can, just head on over to Patreon, become a supporter. Then you get to watch these podcasts live with us. You get to hang out in the chat. You'll get to meet Scotty Johnson, and he'll he'll make you laugh, and everything will be golden. All right. Man. All of that out of the way, you ready to get into our main topic?
Yeah, go on. Let's do it. Because, mate, I'm ready to learn on this one, because I have no clue. And also, I have actually just changed my stick size again. I've gone back up to the 5Bs, mate.
Wow.
Yeah, Popeyes, mate. I've gone back up there. I don't know why. I just, for some weird reason, like, I do know why. So I'm playing a certain genre of music more so now, which is rock, and it's just like, I don't know, man. I feel I'm faster with a thicker stick, because I'm so used to that size between my finger and thumb. And when it's when the stick's smaller, I like my grip changes and I'm all over the place, man. So yeah, I've gone back up to 5B.
There is definitely, I mean, it's all based off of your hand size and what you're playing. But what we were talking about in the last episode was the naming convention of these things. Why are they called what they're called, and how come it makes no sense at all? And also, what are the different materials? What are the tip types? There's so much that goes into a drumstick. And what's crazy is how little some of us give it attention, but it's the only thing that you're physically making contact with, like skin to something. Because even when you're playing on your pedals, you've got shoes, unless you're, don't come to camp if you're one of those bare feet people. You know what's weird though? I've always been against it. Always been against it. Like socks, socks. All right, fine. I guess it's still weird to me, but whatever.
Yeah,
I've always been against the barefoot thing until we had our teacher camp, and there was a beautiful man here that was like full blown Rasta, you know, dreadlocks, everything. He was full California hippie Rasta vibe, and it just kind of worked when he did it. And so
yeah.
I didn't mind it at all. Oddly enough, I was like, I think it'd be weird to see you in shoes. Like, you get them bare feet on my pedals and squish them around and it's just fine. But if any, but yeah. I think it's kind of like if you showed up in, I don't know, a suit and then you took off your dress shoes and then you pulled your socks off and then put your bare feet on my pedals. I couldn't do it.
I can do that either. Couldn't do it.
All right. Well, that was a little aside. Let's get into it. So. Drumsticks, what do they mean? What do the sizes mean? Let's start with the actual letters. So if you are new to drums, you might be realizing that it's a 5A, it's a 5B, it's a 3A, it's a 3B, 2A, 2B, 7A, 7B. So those letters actually, now they're completely outdated now. That's the one thing we have to remember about all this stuff. Drumstick companies have been like, I don't care. Call it a 26G. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, because I was going to say, it's getting a bit mental now, isn't it?
What the hell's an NE1? Like, we literally made it up. So, but when they started, the letters, if we're just talking about the letters were related to what the stick was meant for. So A was the orchestra model. So it was meant for orchestral music. B was the band model designed for concert band. S was the street model designed for marching and for marching bands. And then D was the dance model. And that was only a Gretsch thing. So it was basically A and B. You and I would never see the S's because that would be saved for the marching world. And then D, like an 8D, was a Gretsch thing. So,
wow.
Yeah. So kind of crazy. Like, it's telling you what type of music you should be playing. So if you wanted, let's say, a 7A, you would be playing nowadays jazz. But if you, and they don't even make a 7B, but like a 5B, that's rock. 5A, jazz, 5B, rock. So the letter is telling you what type of genre you're supposed to be playing. Once again, don't take that serious now because that's how it started. That's not how it is now. Now they are basically just what people feel they should be. But that's how it started.
That's sick. Man, I never knew that.
I think what's kind of tough about the numbers is it started out as a 1-9 thing, but then certain models got really popular. And you have, like, what would you say is a popular stick model?
The 5A.
5A. It is the most popular stick model in the world. You nailed it. And that's because it's just kind of an average drumstick. It works perfect for a lot of different people. But it started at from 1-9. 1 is the thickest, heaviest model. And then 9 would be the thinnest and the lightest. So as the number goes up, the stick size and diameter is getting smaller and lighter.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I genuinely didn't think it went past 7. All that I've known to exist or seen or like been around is like the occasional 2B. Do you know what I mean? The occasional big boy.
Yep.
The 5A and the 5B and then the 7A.
Yeah. I mean, So the stick that I used to have as my signature stick with Vader is now, I think, called the, excuse me, called the 8D in their lineup.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, so, mate, I never knew that.
But yeah, so I've never seen a 1. I'm same as you. I've definitely seen. Now, we're also not including marching sticks. Those are it's a whole different thing.
Yeah, they've.
But as far as it's a baseball bat. As far as like our basic drumsticks, I've never seen a one anything. I've never seen a 1A or a 1B, but 2Bs for sure. I mean, that's like, all right, let's break some stuff.
Mate,
let's
go all the way in. I used to play with a 2B back in the
day.
Did
you really?
Yeah, yeah, mate, honestly, like, I don't know why. I just think, yeah, I don't know why. It was so hard. It made my life 10 times more difficult.
It's
like
a big drumstick.
It was insane. I think I probably what it was, man. I was just so skint back in the day when I was first started to tour. That
make
I was
them
like,
last as long as you can.
The thicker they are, they're going to last longer. But you know, my energy didn't.
When working at a drum shop, so my very first drumming job was at this place called Drum and Guitar City, and I realized really quick that the back of a 5A was a lot thicker than the front of a 2B. So I always played 5As backwards. That was my touring stick.
Oh, yeah. Good shout.
Because I didn't need... I wasn't doing any... Like, during the Simon Says days, that was pre, basically, like, the way you played in LTA, where there was a lot of intricate drumming. Mm-hmm. I was just bashing. I didn't really need the drums, the tip of a drumstick to give me rebound or anything. I was just smashing all night on the side of the stick. On the shoulder of it, and I just needed it to last as long as possible. Yeah. Because even when you get endorsed, the problem with breaking sticks, it's not a cost issue. It's just, well, that was 3 in 1 song. So my drumming was kind of all over the map while I was trying to grab another stick.
Yeah, and it's the worst. Mate, talking about things that it's not a stick, but something that saved me money in the long run was those Evans Kevlar heads. Do you remember them?
Shut up.
My God.
Of course,
mate.
I remember them. Yeah.
I mean, I still think they're a thing now. Like, mate, you couldn't even, if you had a gun and you tried to shoot through that, it would come back on your head. You would kill yourself, basically.
Well, I don't know if, like, I don't know if it was an ad campaign or what, but I remember the Evans rep came to Drum and Guitar City when I was working there and teaching there. And the demo was that we would put that drum head on a snare. He's like, just go ahead and throw this on. So you'd put it on, tighten it up. Then he would pull out a knife and he'd stick the knife through the head, and then play it and show that it was at the exact same tuning.
Oh,
with the knife
God.
Inside the drum head.
Like, when, like, I was like, when is that ever going to happen, mate? Do you know what I mean? Like, when is that ever going to happen?
I mean, it was amazing. He's like, you can't break it.
Yeah, mate,
go ahead, try. And I was like, okay.
I think I had one on my snare drum along with a 2B. So a 2B and that Kevlar head for about 8 years straight, mate.
Yeah, that and then like one of those Danmar click beater pads the head with a plastic beater.
Love it.
A lot of high end. All right. Crazy. So that now you guys know that the letter is referring to the type of music that originally the stick was designed to be played in, and then the size or the number is related to the size. So remember, it goes thickest is the smallest number, thinnest is the highest number. So a 7A is thinner than a 5A, 5A is thinner than a 3A is thinner than a 2B, on and on. Now we get into stick materials. So do you still play oak?
Yeah. Still play oak. 5B oak, mate. That? Do you know what I mean? I'm like,
you know how fast you would be with hickories? You'd be flying.
I don't know why. Well, I yet again, same thing. It comes back to, I think
you last longer.
Yeah, at one point of, you know, with talking to the guys at Evans or Promark, I probably said, you know, I just want like a heavy stick, and they probably just sent me them, and then it was just a thing that as soon as I picked up a different stick, it just didn't feel right. The weight was completely off. So yeah, man, it probably stemmed from the same thing. Yeah. I think probably most rock guys probably can relate to all the things we're saying. But yeah, I play totally. Oak, man. I love it. I love a cheeky oak.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So what's the any one?
Go ahead.
What's the any one?
It's a hickory.
Hickory. Okay.
Yep. So basically, even though there are different woods out there, for the most part, you're looking at three main stick types or three different wood types for a drumstick. You've got hickory, oak, and maple. So hickory is the all-around. If you just went to a shop and grabbed a pair of drumsticks, that's what they're going to be. They're going to be hickory. It's a good material because it absorbs shock really well. It's also the exact same. Well, it's the same material that they use a lot of times to make baseball bats. So it's a striking material, and it's good. It can last pretty long. It also sounds good. That's one thing that your drumstick's not going to really change, at least the what your drumstick's made out of. It's not going to change how your drums sound really, but it will change what your cymbals sound like, especially your ride cymbal. Mm. I remember showing Mark Juliana a demo that I'd done with Man on the Moon. And are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. I just lost your video. snap for me to get back in. But I remember showing Mark Juliana a demo of something we did. And immediately the first thing he said is, are you using maple sticks? And I was like, what? How do you know that? And he's like, I can hear it in your ride. I was like, what? You can hear it in my ride.
So bizarre.
So you really can hear the difference between hickory, oak, and maple. So yeah. Hickory, great all around. Maple is much lighter. So if you like the way, like, let's say a 5B, you love the way a 5B feels in your hand as far as how it feels and the dimensions of it, but it's just heavy because it's a lot of wood, then you would go to maple, and that same exact stick will feel exactly the same in your hand, but it'll be a much lighter stick and you won't wear out as quick.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
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 Oak is the one that's, you know, it's denser, so it lasts longer. And it also does have pretty good rebound. Like, there is something inside the stick itself that will either make it feel kind of rubbery or feel really good in the rebound. So
yeah, it does have good rebound, man. I love playing with them. But yeah, when I was recording a couple of weeks ago, there was like a really like intricate hi-hat part, and I was recording with five Bs, and then I went down to five A's, and it sounded so much better. So much better.
Really?
Yeah. So I think I'll probably go from 5A to 5B here and there. I'm actually using the Travis Barker Zildjian sticks at home on the reflex pad at the minute.
Yeah, you are.
Honestly, mate, they're like longer than my arm. I don't know how. So I can't figure out if they're a 5B or in between a 5A and a 5B, but they're long.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing too, is you have the diameter of the stick. So my stick is, 0.580 inches as far as diameter. But then you also have the length. So 16 is like a very normal length of drumstick. But what's crazy is, I'm sure someone that actually knows something about actual physics could tell us, and you and I are not the ones to know this stuff. But when you have a drumstick that's going from 16 to like 16 and an eighth of an inch, which is very little, once you multiply that by the circumference of like swinging the stick around, it's an eighth of an inch feels like all of a sudden you've got these massive poles coming out of your hands.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Can you find out how long the Travis Barker stick is?
So Google's saying 16.38.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot, isn't it? Yeah, no wonder.
It is. It's weird because like I remember the Phil Collins stick when that came out back when I was a kid. I was like, well, I have to get them. And they looked normal when I bought them. And then I got home and I was like, what is he, a hobbit? Like, these are the shortest sticks I've ever played in my life. Like, these are the ones that they come on like the keychain. Like, here you go. Bam, here's your little keychain
stick.
Oh my
God, mate. They do look small. They do look tiny.
They're really small.
I never knew he had a signature stick.
Yeah. God. I think maybe with Promark.
Yeah. They're Promark. Yeah. Mate, they're tiny.
Yeah, I bought those.
Yeah, man. I'm playing the Travi Vs. Mate, you just see Travis, my son, with them, mate. It's the funniest sight, man. He's just got like these big, it's like he's playing with like crutches or something. He absolutely loves it, man. But
all right. Going back to one of your other idols.
Yeah.
Good old Larzy, man.
Oh, here we go.
Did you ever play the Ahead sticks, plastic shields? Because I did.
I did. I bought them. Yep. I had the Joey Jordison.
I bought them too.
And then you bought
the Joeys?
The Lars sticks, though, I remember, and back when I was younger, I cared less about gear. Well, not cared less about. I knew less about gear than I did now. So that shows you how little I knew about gear, right? But when I got the Lars Ahead sticks, even then I was like, whoa, what is going on with this? Like, this is, they're metal and then aluminium or whatever and plastic. And you see him now and I feel like just saying to him, mate, Lars, just chuck on a 5A hickory, mate. Your life would be so much easier.
They are the weirdest things ever because I did the same thing as you. I mean, this is pre-getting a record deal. So I was like, obviously they came out. You get these plastic sleeves that replace, that go over the top of the aluminum and it replaces it. And you can play for as long as you want. Okay, so for anyone that doesn't know, imagine this. You've got a grip in your hand. It's actually like grip tape. So you've got grip, and then there's an aluminum pole coming up straight up, and on the top of that, there's a sleeve that goes over it. That's the thing that it's going to hit the wood. And then you screw on the drumstick or the drum tip, and the screw-on tip is what holds this whole thing together. And then when your sleeve wears out, you just replace it for $3 or $4. So the drumsticks are like $35, but then you can buy as many replacement sleeves as you want.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a lot of sense. Honestly, brilliant idea. Until you show up and meet with this thing called the drum set. The feeling of these things is, it's like, it's this weird reboundy rubber flubber. It's a thing, man.
Yeah.
I couldn't get on board with it. I tried so hard because I thought, well, this is going to save me a ton of money.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get on board with
it. Yeah, either could I, man. I think, and I really wanted to, obviously, because they look so cool. And then Joey Jordison had to deal with them back in the day. So he had a pair. And I was just like, oh, I want them so much, man. But I couldn't deal with them.
Talking about
flipping Joey Jordison drumsticks, I was at Graham Russell's, like the shop near me. And I never knew Joey had a stick with ProMark. And the print is red, not black.
Very nice.
They look like nice sticks, but he told me, and I don't know if this is true, I'd love for someone to DM me, but he told me that Joey put, to get the right color of red, Joey used like some of his own blood in the mix to change the color. And I was like, I went, flipping hell, he must have a lot of blood, mate. And he was like, no, he didn't, that's not printed on the sticks. He just used the blood to get the color.
The color.
What
a stud.
But they look cool, man. They're nice sticks. But yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, with signature sticks, the toughest thing with those is that they're usually designed to appease the artist, right? So the artist comes in and says, I've done 7A, 5A, 5B, 2B. I've done everything. Nothing's working for me. Can we make a stick? And so then basically what happens is the stick manufacturer will say, yeah, of course. We don't want to lose you as an artist, so whatever it takes. And they send that artist all the sticks they make, and then you basically Frankenstein something out of it so they don't have to buy new machinery. If you can find the length in a stick, the diameter in a different stick, the taper in a different stick, and then the tip in a different stick, they can usually put all of those together and make a new Frankenstein model.
Mm.
What makes it really tough is when you say, I don't like any of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I want something from scratch. A lot of times they actually have to change machinery, or there's a lot that goes into it. So you're not costing the company a ton of money if you can basically say, I love everything. I just wish that your 5A came with the half barrel tip. And they're like, oh, we can do that. We make that tip already. We make the 5A. We just program the machine to put those two together.
Amazing, man. Yeah, I wish, I said this before, I wish that the 5A or 5B weren't so perfect, because I would love a custom stick, but I just can't.
Yeah.
Couldn't mess with it, man. Just perfect.
I'm there with hi-hats. I mean, my signature hi-hats are now called the 15-inch jazz hats, because once I got the Foundry Reserves, I'm like, I don't want to have signature hats.
Yeah.
These are the high. I don't ever want to have a signature product that's like, well, I wouldn't buy that.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just wanted to have it's like, well, no, that's the thing. So, yeah, I mean, if you love the sticks you play, then you're set. So hopefully this gave you guys a little bit of info on drumsticks. And in the end, I think the material is important. Maple is going to break faster than hickory or oak. It's going to break the fastest out of the three because it's the lightest. It's the least dense, but it is lighter. So if you're playing a style of music that doesn't require you to hit very hard, you're probably not going to break sticks anyways. You might really like the sound that it gives you on the ride cymbal. Hickory is a nice medium ground. It's going to last a long time. It sounds great on the cymbals, feels great in your hand, but it's not as dense as oak, and oak is going to last the longest. And generally, oak sticks are usually going to be about $1 to $2 more per pair, because it is less of a, it's a more rare wood to make dowels out of. So it costs the companies money. They pass that non-savings on to you in the price of the material. But in the end, whatever feels good in your hand, that's the stick.
Yeah.
There is no right stick. The reason why people always start with a 5A is because it's in the middle of everything. And then from there, you can kind of make your decisions.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I never played a 7A, but I feel like that would be way too thin for me. But yeah, man.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I don't think you would enjoy it. There's a balance for all of us of like a stick is too thin and too light to be able to generate momentum and get what we want out of it. And then there's a stick that's too heavy that's actually slowing us down.
Yeah.
The last thing that we didn't talk about is wood tip versus nylon tip. Real quick, just to get this out of the way. Basically, nylon tips, if you're somebody that's chipping your tips, nylon tips are going to last longer. But I still would recommend using wood tips, because if you're chipping the tips of your sticks, it's your technique. It is not the stick's fault. It's your fault. It's because you're swiping. Every time you hit, you're going a little bit sideways, and that's creating friction against basically sandpaper, which is what coated heads are, and that's what's chipping your stick. So you should use your chipped tips to tell you, oh, I got to really focus on going straight down and straight up, and then you'll stop chipping all of your tips. Mm-hmm. The only other reason to go to nylon tips is if you're playing a lot of music that you just need the cymbals, like when you're actually playing pinging on the ride, when you need that to really cut through, because it's plastic on metal instead of wood on metal. Mm-hmm. Do you play, have you ever played nylon tips?
I have,
like,
when I was a kid.
For a long period of time?
When I was a kid. I think, again, it was just the longevity of it. It's like, oh, they're plastic, they're going to last longer. It's probably like the guy in the music shop just told my mum, yeah, get these, they'll last longer. But yeah, I can't do it. It just scars me, mate. My memory of any plastic tip stick is that the tip is there, but then it's just like hanging on by a thread. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
to the actual stick.
Well, and they just fly off. At some point, you're like, where the hell did the tip go?
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, I mean, they are. I mean, it's so funny, like, how little my brain puts together about manufacturing processes. And like, at some point, the tip flies off, and I'm like, how is that even possible? It's like, well, how did it get there in the first place?
Exactly,
it was just a bit of glue.
It was just glued on.
It was just glued on. Like, they were like, we'll stick this on.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I still love the sound of wood tips on a ride cymbal on hi-hats. Yeah. I think it's just the most pure sound ever. So this answered some questions that you guys might have been having about drumsticks. And oh my God, we are totally doing the Google thing, because that is so fun to revisit those questions that we all had at some point.
Yeah, exactly, man. And it's great, mate. I can't wait for the rudiments one, mate. And apparently, according to your voice, even can you.
I love rudiments. Oh, man. I'm glad we didn't get into the next Google question, which is, what is the most popular drum brand?
Ooh.
You and I would have had to fight over that.
Mate, I would actually say Pearl.
See, okay. Now, I think that shows our age, because I agree, but it'd be really cool to find somebody that's like 16 and ask them, especially if they weren't endorsed, like, what's the most popular drum brand? Because actually, like, my age and a little bit before would, especially being American, would say DW.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, but Pearl was everywhere, but literally. Be honest. When's the last time you turned on a concert and saw a Pearl bass drum hit? It's been a while for me.
I know.
And I mean, Matt Halperin's on Pearl. Uh-huh. I love it. Isaac Jamba's on Pearl. So I think
he's now joined Pearl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that'll be on The Voice. So mm-hmm. I think it's about to make that Pearl logo head kind of come back. All of these come in and out, you know.
And Tosh, the drummer, he's now joined Pearl. He left EW.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So I feel like they are having their comeback.
Okay.
But yeah, mate, I mean, for anyone in the UK, you would know exactly what I mean. Like, Pearl was in every school. Pearl Export was what you played through school and college.
Same here.
Facts.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And if you got really lucky, then your school got the add-on 10-inch tom.
Yeah.
And you just chucked that 13 in the trash and you were good to go, man. Remember? And like, I don't know if you remember, but those poles that went all the way through the bass drum.
Oh, my God.
And like, you get the tom sounding perfect, but then you put the tom on and it goes, and you're like, what the hell? And it's like, well, you do have 8 inches of pole sticking through your 10-inch tom.
So deep as well. Like, the depth on those toms back in the day, man. It's like
10 by 72.
Flipping hell.
Yeah.
Just had like...
I was like, is this... Did we borrow this from the Blue Man Group? Why is this a tube?
So good.
All right, everybody. I hope you guys had fun. If you can, please head on over to Patreon. Become a supporter of this podcast. It really does help us keep this podcast going, because both Eddie and I have some pretty hectic 2023s coming up. And we want to make this a priority, and that's part of it. But it also allows us to start planning bigger things, do longer clinic tours, make sure that we come to your city and all that stuff. And it also gives you the opportunity to interact with us on a daily basis or a weekly basis on the Patreon page and get into these chats with us. You'll get to watch the podcast live when it's being recorded. You'll get to ask questions during the live podcast, and it's a lot of fun. So everyone, have an amazing, amazing week. Get in a ton of practice. But for now, episode 115 is in the can.
See you next week. Yeah, never said that one before. Like, when you're doing your wrap up, I always think, here I go, Eddie, come on. Let's spice it up a bit. And then I just do ciao, ciao. Double gun.
Nothing wrong with a ciao, ciao, but a see you next week.
See you next week.
That's a solid one.
Yeah. Just letting you guys know, we'll be here, even if you aren't.
Yeah, even if you don't support this podcast, we'll still be here.
Exactly. Just a good guy.